We've got Daryl Ryder here on a Football Friday, on an F Off Friday, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. D, welcome to the show.
At least you didn't say, speaking of a-holes, for your segue there, so I thank you for that.
I thought it was implied. I think pretty much everybody who knows you is like,
We see your replies on Twitter, Daryl. We know what people say about you.
Well, it is the year of the eclipse, so if there's anyone to get involved in an eclipse, it would be Nick Wilson. So.
That's true, and I don't know that she has survived. I think maybe the temperature drop gave her hypothermia. So let's start here. Max Crosby, Devontae Adams now out for this game. How does that change the math for this Raiders game for the Browns?
Well, according to Vegas, it's changing the line. I think I saw a 3.5-point shift in the Browns' favor now since this news dropped this afternoon. Football gods, I guess, smiling on the Browns, knowing how bad and desperately they need to win this one. I think it's huge. I mean, Adams, obviously, their best pass catcher. Crosby off to a fast start to his season as well. And we know how not so well the Browns have been dealing with pressure from opposing defensive rushes. So, I just kind of feel like this is the gift from the football gods. And the point spreads seem to be reflecting agreement with me.
Daryl, we know Jedrick Wills is out this week after making his 2024 debut. Jack Conklin, obviously, as well. I am genuinely curious, and I think Nick kind of put this best before the show we were talking about.
I agree.
Things we wanted to talk about. can we say definitively that like Jed Wills is definitely an upgrade over James Hudson? And I think what Nick said was interesting because it's like, on one hand, James Hudson
why do you put me in this position?
To give me credit?
No, because I think, like I said, the way Nick worded it, I think, is perfect. Because it's like, on one hand, you have James Hudson, who has been, you know, okay. But it's like, at least you know he's going to play hard. With Jed, it's the opposite. It's like, there's the talent is there, but you don't know that he's going to give the effort. So, which one of those really makes the most sense for the Browns to move forward with?
Jed has more talent, in my view.
That's true.
Just depends when he's able to use it. Right?
Yeah.
DeJuan Jones right now. I mean, I hate to pin it on him, but he got two offensive linemen hurt last week.
What a dumb question, Spencer.
Hey, Amari Cooper would have called me out on it, so.
Yeah.
You know, somebody put a camera in Spencer's face. We're
right
asking
here.
This
wait
kind of question.
There is a camera in Spencer's face
you know
right
what?
Now.
We need a cap, like a dunce cap. If you ask a dumb question, you got to wear it for the full segment.
I think Lebatard already does that. Can we have or is it the penalty box? I don't know.
It's not the same thing.
Yeah, you can't do the penalty box because then
still
he's
the penalty
just
box
keep
and the Lebatard show. But we can start a dunce
yourself.
Cap where you got to wear
a
dunce cap.
Cap's so much better. You're right, Spencer.
Whatever. Nobody appreciates my ideas here.
There's a reason for that.
Wow. You know what, Daryl?
I'm sorry. Don't call me dangerous for nothing. On a Friday.
It's two a-holes and Spencer on Afternoon Drive.
Guilty.
How you like
proud of it.
I
have no shame.
I mean, he did that the double-sided peanut butter.
That's true. You're going to go to Shark Tank.
Where's Katie Pollock when I need her?
Double-sided peanut butter.
I didn't say I was going to take it to Shark Tank.
Wait.
Yeah,
wait
you
minute.
Did.
Wait, he's doing
it kinda
what?
Did.
So Spencer, I don't even know how it came up. I don't even remember the context, but we were talking about the idea that you would have ideas to take to the show Shark Tank. And Spencer's like, I got a ton of them I could take on that show. Like double-sided peanut butter jars. Because, you know, you get to the bottom of the peanut butter jar, you never get to the bottom. Because it's wasteful down there, so you put a cap on both sides.
Well, and speak for yourself. I have no problem cleaning out a peanut butter jar. It's called a spoon.
The show is going nowhere. This is... I don't... You know what, peanut butter boys? You fight it out on who's got the better idea here. All right, I'm done. Nope, you guys tag it.
Oh, Daryl.
I'll speak for yourself. I clean my peanut butter jars out. I'm like some of that woke mob out there who get to the bottom and just give up.
This show's definitely going off the rails.
Oh, no, you said it.
I was just trying to point out what a less than brilliant idea Spencer had to present to Mark Cuban. That's all.
Daryl.
Spencer.
How long of a leash does Deshaun Watson have, you think, until they... Because obviously fans are throwing out these crazy ideas of, like, at some point they go to Jameis Winston. So if this continues on the track...
You got this.
Where he's playing poorly... what would it take for them to actually pull the plug on Deshaun?
Double-sided peanut butter jar.
Yeah. And a spoon.
I waited that whole time. I'm so sorry. That was such a good job of getting the show on the rails.
They have 46 million reasons this year and 46 million the next 2 years after that to basically watch the Titanic sink. They're
Whoa.
Not... They're not making a quarterback change, and unless obviously there's an injury, like there's no call for Jameis Winston within the building. Okay,
yeah,
he might give the best pep talks on the team, but there's no call for Jameis Winston right now. So to answer your question, the leash is long.
Dare Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
And apparently two-sided peanut butter jars.
I believe you used the phrase double-sided.
There's got to be a sponsorship deal in here somewhere.
Is the season success hinging more on Deshaun putting it together to the best of his ability or Myles Garrett getting and staying healthy enough?
I'd say Deshaun, because right now, the defense is hanging in there, even with Myles Garrett playing at, I don't know, whatever percent. I'm going to say 50% because that's about the amount of snaps he's playing right now is about 50% of the snaps. So it's the offense that's in the tank. So it's got to be Deshaun. I mean, they're 25th in scoring. I want to say 31st in yardage. They're in the mid-20s running the ball. They're near dead last in passing. So, yeah, you know, other than that, things are great. But I think it's got to be Deshaun, because even with Myles Garrett playing through what is now two sore feet, thigh injuries, and an Achilles injury, 50% of Myles Garrett's still pretty good. He was able to rack up a couple of, pressures last week. He obviously didn't get home for a sack, but... he's finding ways to still be effective, even though he's at 50%. I don't know that Deshaun Watson has that kind of talent anymore where he can be at 50% and affect the game the way Myles Garrett does, because Deshaun allegedly is at 100% and he's having trouble affecting the game in a positive way.
Daryl, if David Njoku had played last week, do we think that Deshaun Watson would be saying that he was a decoy on that same play that Jordan Akins ran?
If I won the Mega Millions, would I be saying that I'm a millionaire?
I would assume so, yes.
If Mark Cuban says yes to your double-sided peanut butter jars, will you be saying that you are a millionaire?
Let's hope.
The entire energy of this segment has turned into Goodfellas. Funny how? Like I'm a clown? Like I amuse you?
You did say it's an F off Friday.
Oh, wait. That was your answer, Daryl?
Yeah, that was my answer. Yeah,
All right. So let's.
I would assume that if Njoku was available, that he would have been one of the reads that Deshaun actually looked at on that play, yes.
So let's look at this. David Njoku did not go on the IR after getting hurt in Dallas. This is now his third game he's missed.
Yep.
Jack Conklin came off the PUP list with a thought that he'd be ready in those first two games. This is now the fourth game he's missed.
I know where you're going. Go ahead.
Jed Wills played poorly and played some of the game against the Giants and then got hurt, and now he's going to be out on Sunday. So that's 3 of the 4 weeks here. When did the Browns get bad at gambling on which players to keep on the PUP list and which, which would actually be ready to play within that four-week stretch?
I kind of feel like this is standard operating procedure for them. They do this every year where they screw up the timeline of guys' injuries and stuff, right? at least, especially since Stefanski's been here.
Deshaun was day-to-day for like 4 weeks.
Yeah, right. I mean, and then all of a sudden he needed shoulder surgery and his season was over, right? I mean, they do this every year, Nick. So this is just standard operating procedure in the Cleveland Browns, how to mismanage their franchise handbook. So they do this every year. I asked Kevin Stefanski point blank earlier this week if they brought Jed and Jack back too soon, and Kevin, in the way Kevin says no, said no. So take it with a grain of salt, which I did, because I do think they brought him back too soon.
Maybe that's kind of got them off the hook for like the whole bringing DeJuan Jones back too early, too.
Well, here's the thing. He's playing on a bad leg, and he's out of shape. And Bill Callahan isn't here to whip him into shape. So don't know what to tell you about that. And again, got two guys hurt last week. He gotten Wyatt Teller's way. Wyatt Teller's knee's jacked up. He's on injured reserve. Had an unfortunate collision with Jed Wills. Well, Jed Wills' knee's hurt now. So, it is what it is. But DeJuan Jones is exactly what I told you he was in training camp, and everybody wanted to chastise me for it. I said the offense didn't look good in training camp. Everybody wanted to call me a hater. You're seeing basically everything I told you was going on in training camp. You're seeing it in the first 3 weeks of the season here, and hopefully starting on Sunday, we stop seeing it, and we actually start to see something that resembles a contending football team.
I Was Right Radio with Daryl Ryder. Daryl, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Daryl.
Yeah, but Spencer's wrong about those double-sided peanut butter jars, and that's all that matters.
He really is. Daryl, be good, buddy.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Can the Browns earn back your trust with a win on Sunday?
See, I think I got to see more than I think just the... I guess it depends on how they win, if that makes some sense. Like if they win running away and the offense is firing on all cylinders and they blow this team out, then I think like that's like a trust building moment for us as fans. If it's another one of these, like if it's like the Jaguars game where it feels like they kind of escape with a win against a team that didn't have their two best players and that you're clearly better than, I think I still need some time to like rule on like do I trust them or not moving forward. Because and here's the other thing that's interesting, like this three-game stretch, Giants, Raiders, Washington. This was the stretch we all highlighted as like, okay, get some wins there. We weren't even sure about the Jaguars game going into the season. It was like Trevor Lawrence, you know, they were on a losing streak last year, but they're still a good team. And now as we kind of find out that team's bad and Trevor Lawrence is playing really bad football. But like, this was the three games that we felt like were the most winnable, stack some wins, get the season really in gear. And to already lose the first one of those, now I'm already looking ahead to the Washington game, and I'm like, Jaden Daniels is playing better football. That team's kind of coming along. So, like, it doesn't feel like the stretch of comfort to do what we thought, like, to get the wins that we thought initially was.
That's a really long-winded way of riding the fence. It was a yes or no.
I think the context of how they win matters. Does it not?
Allow me to jam you up further. The answer is no. They can blow out the Raiders on Sunday. We can enjoy every second of it. It can be the easy win that I think we all need, and it will blow off some steam, and it will allow us to take just pause the pressure thing, right? But even if Deshaun throws for 300 yards, four tuts, and it's a 48-0 win, it will still be against a team that is just above roasted dog butt. So, like, the bar will move. This is one of the times where it's okay to move the bar. You get a great win this weekend. Deshaun gets the dub. Awesome. Cool. Now do it again. Because the bar conversation you and I had early, and you're totally right. It's not just about can he raise the bar once. He's got to raise the bar three times within the next 14 games. That's a lot. But specific to a game where there's no Max Crosby, no Devontae Adams, an organization that, again, I think might already be second-guessing or double-siding guessing. That's where my brain was going because of the peanut butter thing. The Antonio Pierce hire, 100%. You cannot earn trust in this kind of game. You can only lose it.
See, but I do think on some level, though, as we talk about the offense, what that looks like, if they can play at a higher level, like what that means, what it means for Deshaun, all these different things. You talk about how they haven't run the offense that's supposed to be built for Deshaun. Like, if we saw that version of the offense and Deshaun goes off and he has that 300-yard game that we keep talking about how he hasn't had in a Browns uniform, I do think, like, the vibe from the fan base changes to being like, all right, now, because here's the other thing. I understand what you're saying where it's like, okay, you've already done, like, the lose embarrassingly, win a game, lose embarrassingly thing. So, yeah, that could all be gone in another week. But if they win with the offense actually looking like what we thought it was going to look like, that the math has changed now. It wasn't just that you eked out a win. It is now like, okay, you did it in a way that you're supposed to do it against a team that's that bad. I mean, listen, we saw, like, the Raiders got the better of the Ravens a couple weeks ago. So, like, they're a bad team, but it's not like, you know, clearly other teams have struggled against them, and they can have good games.
Real quick, how much stock you putting into a win?
If it's just like a normal win with...
No, just how much stock can you really put into beating a team that might be the least talented team in the NFL without their two best players? And honestly, Michael Mayer's another really good player. So without three of their 10 best players, 15 best players, even though it's on the road, like, how much stock can you really put in?
At face value, I'm not putting a ton of stock into it because it's all the things that you laid out. And I think, like... We saw them do this already once before this season. So I understand what you're saying, and I agree that on the surface, I'm not doing that. I just think if there's a world where it looks worlds different, like the offense is really rolling, that's where I think it changes from just being like, okay, they got to win, I still need to see more, to, okay, I'm starting to trust this team again because the offense finally looks like what we thought it was going to look like.
I think more people are where I am. And again, this is not that that doesn't make you wrong. I don't want to make it seem like that. Yeah. But I think more people are where I am because we've seen a good game before. Was it the Tennessee game where Deshaun threw for 289 yards? Like, we've seen good games. And we've seen good games against bad teams. People retroactively going into the season weren't giving him credit for Arizona, weren't giving him credit for Tennessee because they were dog butt teams. So that's
I think that was also wrong by those people, though. Like, I think you have to give Deshaun credit for the games he has played well. Like, and that's where I think people only are able to point to the Ravens game sometimes as like this is the one game he has. But I do think, like, there was context at the time. The Tennessee was the big play in the Browns uniform at that point. I think that got people really excited. I think leaving that Tennessee game, people were excited about what was on the other side because it was like, oh, he finally looked like a good quarterback. We're finally there with him. So, like, I can't sit here and not give him credit for those just because they were bad teams. Like, he did what he was supposed to do against those
teams. But this is where it's the difference of being a year later. I think that
later after a shoulder injury.
Well, but no, because it's you had those six games. So we were looking for any positives last year. And then because of the injuries and because Flacco looks so good, any positives those aren't enough anymore. Like, I don't think a fair amount of people in town are going to be happy until they have conclusive evidence. We're talking 4, 5, 6 games out of an 8-game stretch where Deshaun looks good. So I hear what you're saying. I'm not trying to just say you're wrong and I'm right because this is a perspective thing. But, like, I think this weekend is not about feeling better about Deshaun, even if Deshaun plays well. It's about, okay, that's probably what you should do against that team. Now do it again on the road, back-to-back weeks against Washington. And then, if he does it again, then I think the hope starts to creep in. Then it becomes, well, now can you do it against the Eagles because of the prestige of where that organization is, not that they've been that good this year. Like, that's when you start to stack wins, I think, is when all of a sudden you can start to talk about trust. But I think that trust will be built and lost specifically on the offensive side of the ball.
I also do think, though, that the trust is more than just Deshaun. Like, I think that if the offense if Deshaun plays well within the scope of the offense, I think people want to trust Kevin Stefanski, given he's the 2-time coach of the year, he has the extension, he's changed the organization around. So I think if he even gives you that glimmer of, like, this is what you were looking for, here's the offense that we talked so much about, and it looks like a fully functioning offense, even against a bad team, I think the trust with just how this thing's going to start going, whether it's specific to Deshaun or otherwise, I think that does start to set in for some people where they'll feel a little bit better about it. I'm not
some
saying
people,
it's...
I'm more saying, for some people, sure. But for the people who spend all week saying, bench Deshaun, fire Ken Dorsey, judging whether Kevin Stefanski is a good head coach, like I just think we've gotten to a point where a great game against a bad team is going to be looked at as against a bad team instead of a great game. 216-474-0092. JJ saying, Nick Wilson just called the Raiders roasted dog butt. I believe I said one step above roasted dog butt.
So what team is roasted dog butt then?
Yeah.
Is there an example
The Raiders after this loss. Dennis.
Going to hand him the cell and they're going to go right to roasted dog butt.
What you got, Dennis, real quick, buddy?
I don't have faith in this team. I'm actually, the way that it's currently constituted, I'm thinking they'll be lucky to get out of this season with 5 or 6 wins. I mean, the injuries included too, but they haven't played well. And, you know, you, looking at Chubb coming back, well, when and will he be any good? And I really have a problem with the comments that have come out of this last week of, from Deshaun. I don't care about Amari. I think he's kind of playful. But Deshaun, like, he seems a bit like a phony at times where he's throwing his teammates under the bus. He's not saying the things like, I got to be better. I got to do this. And I really begin to question, like, what's going on in that locker room?
Dennis, and, hey, Dennis, real quick.
Yeah.
You're saying you think they only can win, like, 5 games. What was your thoughts at the beginning of the season in terms of what you thought they could do? Like, what was your record prediction?
I was kind of partial to a lot of what Daryl says. So I was thinking 9, maybe 10. I just think it's even worse off now. By the way, I love the I Was Right radio with Daryl.
Dennis, we got to run real quick, buddy. Have a great weekend, okay? Go Browns.
You too. Go Guards.
Thank you so much.